If you don't know how to treat low back pain, it makes sense that you're gonna think it's tough. A lot of people don't know how to treat low back pain, so a lot of people think it's tough. But the fact is, it's not tough when you understand exactly what to do.
Welcome back to the Performance Rehab Authority Podcast. I'm Dr. Caitlin.
I'm Dr. Raj.
Today we're gonna be talking about low back pain and really how to stop treating it.
Never treat low back pain again.
So what we're going to talk today is more specifically the things that people do all of the time to treat low back pain that don't work.
Yeah, like, I don't know what Dr. Google says. Everything on Google. Like, stronger core and more flexible hamstrings.
Mm-hmm.
That's the answer. Everybody knows it. And you're probably giving your patients core work and stretching their hamstrings.
And I think the really important fact to drive home is the number of people that will experience low back pain in their lifetime. So the prevalence of low back pain patients on your caseload is probably gonna be pretty high.
It's gonna be even higher once you learn how to parse out all the people that have a back problem that don't actually have back pain as well. But it's upwards of 80 to 90% estimated of the population at some point in time that's gonna experience an episode of low back pain that's, you know, fairly debilitating, like definitely more than just a day ache. So getting very familiar with it is huge. I was talking to somebody the other day and they were like, oh yeah, you know, well, it's low back, so it's tough. And my head just about exploded, because everything is tough when you don't understand how to treat it. If you don't know how to treat low back pain, it makes sense that you're gonna think it's tough. A lot of people don't know how to treat low back pain, so a lot of people think it's tough. But the fact is, it's not tough when you understand exactly what to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right? So yeah, if you're like, oh man, necks are like, they're just difficult to rehab a neck, it's difficult to rehab a back. I don't think it's difficult. Those are actually some of my favorite things to rehab because I really understand it. But most people don't. They don't understand how to get the result because they wanna get, you know, stronger core, more flexible hamstrings.
Yeah, and you like to talk about gymnasts all the time. When people say that a stronger core and more flexible hamstrings are what people need, we just look at gymnasts. They're a perfect population. They have a high prevalence of back pain and...
Yeah, the youngest age of onset. But it's not just any gymnast. Think of young female gymnasts specifically, right? Like, they have more back pain than anybody at the youngest age of onset. Actually, most of them end up getting out of the, I almost said profession, out of the sport entirely at a very young age because they have low back pain. But who do you know that has a stronger core and more flexible hamstrings than a young female gymnast? I don't know of anybody. Do you know of any population that has, like, it's very impressive the amount of core strength they have and how flexible they are. But if they have more back pain than anybody else, like, then that obviously can't be the answer.
Exactly. And so then we look at what we're doing in the clinic. And I look at when I first got out of school and I just started doing what all the other PTs in my clinic were doing. Again, because they had more experience than me. They were the people who were assigned to be my mentors, even though I didn't actually really get any mentorship. But that's a sidebar. We were using blood pressure cuffs. Or we were using a weighted belt so that people could posteriorly tilt and engage their transverse abdominis to make sure that they were doing it right. And if they could hold that tilt, then we were working on getting a stronger core. And that's what 90% of people with back pain came in and got. So that was just the same prescription template of exercises. And so you're doing dead bugs, you're doing maybe some bird dogs once you've gotten past the laying on your back part. But even for active people who were anywhere in their low back pain progression, they're all laying there doing pelvic tilts, dead bugs, and it's like that all the time. And then they could also, if you really wanted that to be the home exercise program, they don't need to waste their time coming into the clinic and doing that. They could be doing that at home.
Funny story, sidebar here. One time I spent 3 days with Lorimer Mosley. If you guys don't know who Lorimer Mosley is, he's only the world's leading pain scientist. So you guys should get with the times if you don't know who that is, like him and David Butler. But either way, I was hanging out with him. And he was like, you know what's funny? He's like, PTs are really good at soft core porn. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he just starts tilting his pelvis. He's like, that's all I want to do, right? Back pain. Just tilt your pelvis. Move around. Pelvic tuck. Stay there. And I was like, oh, I get it now. But it was funny. Especially because of his accent. But, I mean, that's the point, right? Like, that's essentially what you guys were doing. Is like, we're going to tilt the pelvis. We're going to hang out there. And we're going to try to move around it. Like, that's not quite it. I've seen the same thing done with, like, a TheraBand. Right, or like a mobilization belt where you're pulling on it, right? If it comes out, then you've lost your contact with the ground. And a lot of times it's with things like dead bugs, right? Is that kind of stuff you use it with?
Yeah, absolutely. So that whole progression from lying and hook lying and just doing a pelvic tilt and trying to hold it for an amount of time or whatever, and then progressing to dead bugs. But that's like the highest peak you can go with these core TRA exercises. And then you just add a weighted belt or a TheraBand that you're pulling on.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have a problem with that in general. Just like dead bug is a great exercise, but it's not an exercise for somebody that is rehabbing from low back pain. Especially if they have any type of extension and load sensitivity. Because if you're doing dead bugs with somebody that has any type of load sensitivity, extension sensitivity, sensitivity to shear forces, you're creating all of those. Anything really with a long lever lower extremity, because what's controlling that? You've got the psoas, right? That actually connects, you know, right from T12 down to L5, actually ties into the disc's fibers as well and is pulling directly on the discs, and you're using that to control their leg up and down, and you think that doing a pelvic tilt is going to stop those forces on the spine. Like, you're still going to have that segmental loading, segmental extension and shear forces that are tend to be very highly aggravating. Like, yeah, maybe if somebody's made a full recovery and now we're training for something like high level athletically where you want to maintain a position which isn't just like this huge full tuck, right, and challenge that progressively, I think that's great utility of that. But as a low back pain, like rehab exercise, I think there's a lot of things that you don't understand about the spine if you're doing something like that for spine care.
Yeah. I think in general, we need to be more creative with back pain exercises. So if you don't understand it, you need to figure out what's going on and take care of that problem. And if you do understand it, you should also know what Roger just said, that those aren't really going to work as far as the mechanical stressors of the spine.
Or maybe don't listen to me because I'm over here choking on my own saliva. So, I mean, really, treating the back is a lot more than just core work, right? Like, we have to parse out and know what they're sensitive to, how that applies to their day-to-day. And it's not just putting them in one of, like, the low back pain classification buckets. It's understanding how many different buckets do they fit in, how much of each bucket is contributing to their pain pattern, and then, like, how do you take that information, arm them with that education, and then help them live their life day-to-day in the other, you know, however many days in the week and hours throughout each day that they're not seeing you or doing these exercises, so they can actually be in control of their pain and we can give them self-empowerment and self-efficacy.
Yeah, absolutely. We got to stop prescribing the same thing and create a plan based on specific mechanical stressors.
Yeah, absolutely. And that doesn't include getting in there and stretching their hamstrings and doing all these just random core work. Now, don't get it wrong, right? Like, you can do core work in low back pain rehab. There should be some like core work for most people in there, but it's not strengthening. Most of the time, what we want to do is build stability around the spine. Now, there's a big difference between strength and stability, right? Strength is your ability to move weight. Stability is your ability to resist unwanted movement. And that includes micro movements within the spine. It includes things like stabilizing the spine and moving your extremities, right? If you have pain in the gym and the first thing you do when you squat is dump into an anterior pelvic tilt and you get to the top of a deadlift and you're anteriorly tilting and leaning back and you're doing pull-ups and you're super overextended all the time and there's this pain pattern, like, now you've developed this movement patterning of not being able to move your limbs without moving your spine. And we'll see that a ton. Right, that's a big thing that we work on in rehab with a lot of our athletes is, you know, moving the limbs, extending and flexing the hip and the knee and the shoulder and all that stuff without having spinal movement compensations. That's the whole purpose, right? You guys have all heard of, you know, proximal stability for distal mobility, but then you're not breaking down your patient's movement patterns and looking at, do they actually have proximal stability? And what does that even mean? Like, doing a plank doesn't mean that you have proximal stability.
We have to dissociate the movement patterns if they're associating different lumbar or thoracic movements with their extremities. So we need to be working on that. And core work is not the same as stability work. It's also not the same as core pressure management. If you're not sure what that means, go look it up, or we'll put another podcast out on it.
So it's like when patients come in and say that they have tight hamstrings, right? And you start stretching their hamstrings. Most of the time, that's not what's causing their pain, right? Like, I've never actually looked at somebody like, you know what's causing your pain? Tight hamstrings. But pretty much everybody that has neural tension sensitivity has this sensation of tight hamstrings. And it's our job to be able to parse out when they actually have tight hamstrings and if that's even contributing to what they have going on versus them having a sensation of tightness. Because we know a sensation of tightness has nothing to do with actual tightness. And if somebody comes in and they're like, oh, my hamstrings feel really tight, that's just not how it works, right? Like, you don't feel, do your hamstrings ever feel tight when you're just standing there?
Nope.
Yeah, so what do you have to do to feel tightness in your hamstring? You have to put the hamstring on stretch. And then you can feel tightness. But if you're just standing here and you're like, God, oh, so tight, that should be a dead giveaway that it's not actually hamstring tightness, right? Even if you're super sore from working out and your quads are super tight and stiff, if you stand here with your knees straight, you don't feel tight. So when you start bending them, trying to go downstairs, whatever, that they start to feel tight, right? So you have to be able to parse out, is this neural tension? Is this not neural tension? And know how to do that. And then be able to address it appropriately, know where to go with that information. So that's actually starting to use the mechanical stressors like as a basis for their rehab plan instead of just the weird subjective shit they're telling you, right? So then, you know, if somebody has a load sensitivity, how would you go about like incorporating that into their rehab plan?
Well, once we've identified it, we need to start making some lifestyle modifications of making sure that we don't intentionally load the spine throughout the day.
That's the biggest missed piece of this whole thing in rehab is those activity modifications throughout the day. People just give a bunch of core exercises, but they don't break down like looking at the way people are moving, looking at the positions they're in, going out and looking at their car and helping them set up their car and looking at pictures of their desk and helping them set up their desk and put them in control, right? Give them the education and the knowledge of how to actually apply that to their day-to-day. And then, you know, if someone has load sensitivity, then we can give them exercises that are designed to decrease their load sensitivity, right? Instead of giving them these core exercises that are increasing the loading that they have on their spine, we can give them things that decrease the loading on their spine, that empty the bucket, that pay their credit card off, so to speak. And then we can take that a step further and we can add in like their positional sensitivity, right? If somebody has pain with flexion, maybe you don't want to have them doing any exercises that are flexed, right? Like that plank that you're having them do with a posterior pelvic tilt, that maybe puts them in a little bit of flexion and loading. Or if they're extension sensitive, maybe you don't want them doing that plank at all either because they have a hard time doing a posterior pelvic tilt and they hang out in a little bit of extension. So taking the information that you're able to gather from the patient, from the testing, from the subjective, and honestly, it should be a lot from the subjective, right? Like at the end of an evaluation or the end of a subjective portion, you should know, like, oh, these are, you should have a list, right? Like, these are the things that are relevant to me that I think I'm aware of that they might have for stressors, and then use the testing to either support that or show you otherwise. But I mean, when you're looking, Caitlin, at, you know, somebody that has, let's say, an extension sensitivity, like how do you take that and start to incorporate that into their rehab plan?
Well, we teach them how to stay out of extension positions. I think a lot of PTs do well at the positional bias. If something is a position that people are in pain in every time they do it, PTs generally go to their repeated position test and say, okay, so we're not going to get you into a lot of extension if they're extension sensitive. But it's developing a plan and doing exercises that don't put the patient in pain. It's kind of the unseen ones with load and then knowing the mechanical stressors of, hey, even if I'm in this dead bug exercise, I'm still actually loading the spine.
Yeah, I think that's great. And then, you know, bringing it back to what we were talking about earlier with even though you're keeping that posterior pelvic tilt of having the psoas pulling on the spine directly, and even though you're in a posterior pelvic tilt, still creating segmental extension in addition to that loading. But I think that that's a pretty good view of how to take things and, you know, modify exercises in ADLs to avoid the pain. I mean, it could be something as simple as like I'm doing right here where I'm putting my foot up, right? Like that's going to flex the hip, flex the spine a little bit if somebody has an extension sensitivity. And that kind of stuff can be so, so useful to patients.
We do have a free gift for you. If you are interested in learning more about how to dig into what's going on, how to more effectively and efficiently figure out what's going on with your patients, we've got this 3-week mini course. The link to opt in is in the description box.
Yeah, and remember, if you're unhappy or you're unfulfilled in your career or your life, no one is coming to save you. It is your responsibility to lead by example, to pursue excellence, and to learn new skills.
And to welcome the challenge of raising the bar. Drive the change that you want to see.
Fucking mic drop. Oh.